Are you ready for the word of God?
Yes.
We already had a wonderful time this morning in the things of God. Amen. But I don't believe that God is finished yet. I believe we got more to go. We got more to go. God has a lot more to give this morning. So this morning I will ask for you to pull out your Kindles and pull out your iPads or pull out your iPhone and whatever technology you have and pull out your Bible, because we are living in a paperless generation and we all technology right about now. Amen. So this morning I would like for you to pull your Bible out and turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 10 verse 38 to 42. Try not to keep you too long, amen. I'm gonna try to just hit it straight to the point, and we all out of here, amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. And the word of God read, and it says, Jesus and his disciple were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had to say. But Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care? My sister has left me to do the work by myself. Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, I pray, God, that I will decrease, and I ask that your spirit will increase this morning. Father God, I pray that this morning you will move me to the side, and you will minister to your people. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know I saw myself in this particular text. And Father, this morning I pray that you will open it up, God, so your people may be able to see themselves as well. And so, Father, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I titled this message, Sitting at the Feet of Jesus. What does it mean and what is the benefit? What does it mean and what is the benefits? In Psalms 103, verse 2, the Bible reads, it says, Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. There are great benefits in God if we do not lose heart or quit. I'm going to say it again. There are great benefits in God if we don't lose heart and quit. The pressures of life oftentimes backed us in a corner to where we think that there is no way out. But I have news for you this morning. The Lord gave me a scripture and he says, give it to my people. And this scripture is a scripture that we embraced. And it is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. And it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If God brought you out yesterday, he's going to bring you out tomorrow. Amen. If he did it before, he's going to do it again. Come on, give him praise. When I look at the scripture, and really ponder on it, it reflects something to me, Pastor, that your God and my God doesn't change. God cannot change. In the book of Malachi, the Bible says, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 to 7, the Bible says, I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned from me and my decree and have not kept them. Turn to me, and I will turn to you, saith the Lord Almighty. This is God crying out to have affection with his people. I'm getting somewhere, Pastor. I'm just circling the airport. I'm trying to get with the tower so they can give me permission to take off. Amen. We're going somewhere this morning. Stay with me. Stay with me. We're going somewhere. So the Bible says that God doesn't change. And the Bible says right here in Malachi that God says, return to me and I will return to you. In other words, what God is saying, I desire to have intimacy with my people. God says, I desire to be in your presence. I want to be with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to be with you on a daily basis. If you look with me over in the book of Exodus, the Bible says that God spoke to Moses. In Exodus chapter 19, the Bible said that God spoke to Moses, and he said to Moses, tell the people to consecrate themselves for 3 days because I'm coming down to be with them. And the Bible said that when God steps on the foot, when God steps on Mount Sinai, you know, things erupts. And the Bible said that when God came down, the people were so fearful that they spoke to Moses and says, Moses, no, you go deal with him. But it was God that desired to be among his people. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. We find this same God that stands with Moses and Mount Sinai, we saw this same God now in the book of Philippians clothed in human flesh. In other words, what happened is God steps out of eternity and now steps into time. The same God wraps himself in flesh. Look what it says in Philippians 2, verse 6 to verse 8. He says, who? This is God. Being in the very nature of God, did not consider it equal with God something to be used to his own advantage. What is he saying here? What he's saying is, even though he was God, he did not use his advantage in the earth. Did you remember the time when he stand before Pontius Pilate and Pontius Pilate began to question him, and he says, do you know that I have the power to release you or the power to crucify you? What was Jesus' respond? Jesus says, you only have power because it was given to you. So who gave him the power? Jesus gave him the power that he had over him. Because if you read the text and go further in it, the Bible said that Jesus was having the conversations and Jesus said to him, don't you know that if I want to call legions of angels, I will have them to my disposal? Jesus, now the Bible says he humbled himself. And he took on the form and the nature of a man. And the Bible said he humbled himself even to the point of death. We're getting somewhere. Don't lose me yet. We're going somewhere. This is where we picked him up in the text. Notice with me now that Jesus was going somewhere. His destination wasn't to Mary's house, because Martha's house, because when you read it, you know it's not Mary's house, it's Martha's house. Mary was just there because she and Mary, her sister. You know when sister and come hang out, come over and then come hang out and heat up all your food and then go home? You know, Mary comes over to Martha's house, and so now the Bible said that Jesus was on his way. And now while he was on his way, the Bible said that he stops off at this, in this little village on his way where he were going. There were Mary's house. Martha's house. But notice now that he didn't send message ahead of himself that he was coming. The Bible said that he just showed up. How many of you that God just showed up? Come on, help me here. I'm going to hit your nerve right about now. How many of you go to bed sleeping around 2 o'clock, you find yourself can't sleep? You're wondering why you're tossing, turning, and for 2-3 nights straight you can't sleep. You know why you can't sleep? Because God desire to speak with you. God desire to have intimate time with you. It is not time to get up and go to the fridge and get a snack. It ain't time to go eat. It is time where God is saying, get up. I want to speak. I want to spend some quality time with you. I remember years ago when I was in the rehabilitation home. And I got there. I probably was there for like a month in the home. And while I was there for 2 nights straight, keep getting this, can't go to sleep. I cannot go. For whatever I do, I can't go to sleep. And finally, the 3rd night, I just says, you know what? God, what is it, Lord? What is it? And I sat up on the bed. And while I sat there on the bed, the Spirit of God begins to speak to me. Everybody knocked out. And I'm sitting wide awake, sitting on the bed. And the Holy Spirit told me the name of this guy in the home. And he says, go tell him when he wakes up in the morning, tell him, I says, do not leave the home. I said, God, you're crazy. I just got in this place and you're telling me to go tell somebody not to leave? I just got here. What are they going to look at me like if I'm some, you know? I said, no, Lord, I'm not doing that. No, God, I am not. No, Lord. And I fought with the Lord. And I won. I think I won. And so the morning, we all gather around the table. And this gentleman eat his food. And all of a sudden, I saw him with this plastic bag. With something in the bag, I don't know what it is. And I saw this man bolt right out the door. I go, oh, God, Lord, Jesus, Lord. I never pray so much in my life. I pray because in the home where I were, it's 90% heroin addicts. And these guys, you know, you can do an overdose and you don't make it back. And so I know who surrounded me is either they are using crack cocaine or they are using heroin or they are doing something that's not right. And so I know what he was on, and I says, God, please help me, Lord. Help me, Father God. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and asked God, please bring him back, Lord. And if you bring him back, Lord, next time you speak to me, I will get up and I will tell whoever you want me to speak to, God. And I told you, about 3 weeks later, this young man walked back into the door, beat up. When you talk about beat up, he was beat up by the devil. But I say that to say this, that God will wake you in the midnight hour. And when God wakes you in the midnight hour, spend some time with him. Because sometimes your days are very busy. And because you are busy during the day, you don't have that quality time to spend with the Lord. But see, he's a gentleman. He could have just stopped you from doing whatever you're doing. But he's a gentleman. He lets you move on and continue your day. But in the night hours, he comes in. And so when he comes in, spend time with him. Amen. Notice with me the difference between both sisters' attitude. Jesus comes. Hello? Who is it? Oh, Jesus. Jesus and his disciples, they all showed up. And the Bible said that Jesus comes in, and while Jesus comes in, he makes his way in and he sat down. And while he sat down, you have Mary, because you know Jesus traveled with his entourage. You know that, right? He don't travel alone. He always got his entourage with him. And so now the Bible said that they comes in, and while they come in, the Bible said that Jesus and his entourage sat down. Now you got both sisters greet them as they enter the house, but the Bible said, I want you to look at the both of their attitude. One of them sat at the feet of Jesus and listened. She's listening. The other one just keep moving back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Both sisters now have the opportunity to sit in the presence of God, but one of them were more caught up in the things to do. Are you with me? Don't lose me. We're going somewhere. The question I ask myself is this. What is it that keeps me from being in the presence of God? What is it that keeps me from being in the presence of God? I don't have to get into your personal life. You know what keeps you from the presence of God. But the Bible said that she took the opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus while Martha was busy with the preparation of the meal. Now, what struck me odd about the text is this. Martha is busy going back and forth, and while she's busy going back and forth, she got frustrated. How many of you got frustrated? She's mad at Mary, but she took out her frustration on God. How many of you go through things where you are mad and frustrated and you take it out on God? She begins to take out her anger on God, and God didn't do anything to her. It just reminded me a few weeks ago, I was frustrated, Pastor. I was upset. But I can't take out my anger and frustration on my wife or my children. So I took my frustration out on God. I says, God, if you didn't bring me to this place, I wouldn't be going through the things that I'm going through. I'm going through all of this because you brought me to Georgia. If you didn't brought me to Georgia, I wouldn't be going through all of this stuff. And the Lord says to me, I'm just driving, having my good old time with myself. Because God ain't paying no attention to your little tantrums, you know. All I heard the Spirit of God says, you're full of pride. What? What do you mean I'm full of pride, Lord? He said, you're full of pride. I says, how is it that I'm full of pride if I want something better than what I'm looking at, God? Spirit of God says, you're full of pride because you think you know more than God. That very moment, I humble myself, Pastor, and I says, Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. And the Spirit of God says, humble yourself. He says, humble yourself. Give me your total heart, and I will line you back up with my will. He says, humble yourself, give me your total heart, and I will line you back up with my will. Pastor, she have discernment. You know that? A few weeks ago, I'm standing in the back, and she get up here, and she goes, some of y'all back there, you know, you at that plateau. Man, she's stepping on my toes back there. You at that plateau and with God. And you stop having visions and you stop dreaming and it's time for you to dream again and it's time for you to get back. I'm like, oh God, here we go. I didn't come here for that this morning, Lord. You already got me yesterday while I'm driving. But she was ministering to me. The Spirit of God didn't finish with me yet. So Pastor had to top it off when I came to church that Sunday morning. But see, the thing is, God wants me to humble myself. Humble myself. I'm not going to take too long. But see, I can understand the frustration. I can understand the frustration with Martha. And the reason why I can understand the frustration with Martha is because now Jesus showed up at her house, and out of courtesy and hospitality, you want to show somebody a good time. And it was part of their custom to actually, when somebody enters your home, to make them a meal. So I can understand her frustration by being in the kitchen and, you know, things are not happening the way that she wanted to happen. I understand that. But what's hard about the text is this. She were mad and she were frustrated about something that God didn't tell her to do. God did not tell her to go in that kitchen and make no meal. She do it out of custom. She did it out of tradition. She did it out of the love of her heart, and God did not tell her to do. Many of us are frustrated with stuff that God didn't tell you to do. You are busy doing things just because Jesus is hooked to it, and God didn't tell you to do it. You are going to burn yourself out. We need to sit in the presence of God. And we need God to speak to us. We need God to direct us. We need God to guide us. She comes to Jesus. Don't you care? But I just love the respond of the Lord. Jesus looked at her and says, Martha, Martha. You know Jesus loved to do that, right? Simon, Simon. Hard-headed people, Jesus liked to tell them twice. Me, I'm one of them. Patrick, Patrick. What am I going to do with you, man? You know. Everybody else can say amen. You don't say amen, please. Martha, Martha, he says, you are troubled about many things. She's frustrated about a whole lot of stuff going on with her. But she just used the Mary situation to get her point across. How many of you frustrated with a whole bunch of stuff? A whole bunch of stuff. She in there banging up the pots and the pans, and they come over here. Nobody even let me know that they're coming, and they all just show up at my house, and they come sit down. Nobody, look at her. She over there sitting down with all of them. She can't even come in and help me. Nobody cut the lawn, and the lawn is all messed up. And she just going off in her mind, and she got a whole lot of stuff just rattling on in her mind. Pastor, talk about it this morning. By the renewing of your mind. Satan wants to get a hold of your mind, church. Don't let him get your mind. Because if he gets your mind, he got you. If he gets your mind, he have you like a puppet. Whatever he tells you to do, that's what you're going to do. You better take back your mind out of his hand. Your mind is yours. It doesn't belong to the devil. It belongs to God. God needs your mind because that's the only way he's going to use you effectively if he got your mind. Take your mind back. Matter of fact, go take all your stuff back. The stuff he took from you, he ain't got no business in the earth anywhere. The earth was created for us. It didn't create it for Satan and the fallen angel. It was created for us. He's an unwelcome guest in the earth. Go get your stuff. You're over there bragging what he took from you. Go get your stuff. Are you with me? I'm going to cut it short. I'm going to give you four things. I'm going to cut out some of this stuff here. I'm going to give you four things and so you can go home, okay? I know you left your rose on, so I don't amen. So I don't want your rose to burn, so I'm going to let you up out of here, amen? So now the Bible said that Jesus is speaking to her, Martha. Martha. He said, you are troubled with many things. But he said, it's only one thing. It's only one thing is needed, Martha. One thing is needed, Martha. Only one thing is needed. And your sister has chosen that good thing, that better thing. A matter of fact, the only one thing. He says, your sister have chosen the better thing. What is that better thing? That better thing is sitting in the presence of God. God desires for you to sit in his presence. One of the things that I tell young Christians or even people that I met before that are struggling in the Lord, I says one thing you need to do is develop intimacy. Ask God for intimacy with his Holy Spirit. Because his spirit desire to abide not only in you, but his spirit desire to lead you, to guide you, and to show you things to come. He will speak to you about things that you know not of. I know I'm jumping ahead of my scripture here, but Jesus says that I will not take it away from her. What she wants Jesus to do is this. Mary, get up. Go in the kitchen, go help your sister. Jesus said, no, I ain't doing that. No. Why? Because we all need the word of God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, this is Jesus having a conversation with the devil. And Jesus now been in the wilderness for 40 days. And the devil said to Jesus, you've been here 40 days. Man, you're looking bad, brother. You could use some food. I'm just paraphrasing now, okay? Please. I like to paraphrase. Jesus, the devil is speaking to Jesus. He said, you've been here for 40 days. You could use some food, brother. Why don't you just turn that rock over there into bread and just have a good old time? Jesus looked at him and says, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes up out of my mouth. The word of God is a sustainer to our spirit. The word sustained us. That's number one. The word of God is our spiritual sustenance. Number two, in Psalms 119, verse 105, the word of God reads, it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God guide us and direct us. We need the word of God to guide us and to direct us, church. Number three, Psalms 107, verse 20, the word of God says, he sent out his word and it healed them. There is healing in the word of God. Who desire healing this morning? Speak the word of God over your situation. Jesus was talking to the disciples at one point. I don't know exactly where it's at right about now. But Jesus was talking to the disciples at one point, and he said to them, my word is spirit. He says, my word is spirit. When spirit hits spirit, things happen. And what God is saying, speak my word over your situation. It doesn't matter what it is. Speak it over your finances. My word can change the outcome of how your money looks. He says, speak the word over your body. If you are sick in body, speak it over it. My word can bring forth healing. Speak my word over your mind. My word can help renew your mind, because that's what the Bible says. The word of God renews our mind. Number four. That's just his word. What about being in his presence? In God's presence, God will release intimate secrets to you. When you spend time in the presence of God, God will release intimate secrets. And the reason why I said this is this. In John chapter 16, verse 13, I just quoted not too long ago, he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. This is why you got to be careful. You prophetic speakers, be careful. Because when you speak prophetically, you are speaking something that was hidden. It was a secret. Nobody knows it. Nobody knows it. No demons, sorry for the expression, in hell didn't know about it. Nobody know about the prophetic word you just bring forth. Jesus spoke it to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit released it to you. You open your mouth, you let it out. When you let it out into the atmosphere. Now the devil got something to go after. Pastor, no wonder why things are the way it is. There is a lot of prophetic word that has been given over this church and over the body of Christ here. Who you think God is going to use to help bring it to pass? The people that are sitting here. No wonder why you are going through the things that you are going through. Satan going to make sure those prophetic words you spoke in the atmosphere do not come to pass. Those prophetic word that has been spoken, he has demons fighting them every single day. Every day that you don't see the 200 and something people that we're supposed to have. But I got news for him, and I got news for you too. No weapon that form against us shall prosper. The Bible said that when my word goes forth, it will not come back to me void, but it will accomplish the task that I send it out to accomplish. God, send out some words. God, send out some prophetic things. We may put limitation on it and says, okay, God, it's supposed to happen this time or that time. But God said, don't put no limitation on my word, because when I send it out, it got to come back to me, and it's going to come back to me on void. They're coming, Pastor. They're coming. They're coming. I don't care how the devil fight, they're coming. The devil is fighting the congregation pretty hard, because he knows that you are the one that God is going to use. This is why my encouragement to you this morning is to sit at his feet. Sit at his feet. Sit at his feet, because the devil knows that you... We spoke it today and we forget about it tomorrow. The devil don't forget. You spoke it in the atmosphere. You go on about your business. It's out there. The devil, you forget about it, but the devil don't forget about it because he knows I filled this place up. Do you know how many people that are going to take away from the kingdom of darkness? Do you know how many people going to be, life going to be changed? Life going to be touched? Minds going to be renewed? Souls are being saved? The devil knows. So if I can keep them at 20 people, or even bring them down to 2, I'm going to do everything I can to keep them that way. So church, like Pastor says, continue to fight. Continue to press in. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Don't give up. I have to tell myself the very same thing because I was mad. I was frustrated. I was angry with God. And I want to give up. I want to, where's the white towel at? Where is it at? I want to throw it in. But the Spirit of God says, humble yourself. Continue to press in. Give me your whole heart. And I will line you back up with my will. Because when we rebel, we step away from his perfect will. So he says, I'm going to line you back up. And it takes some humbling. It takes some humbling because this old flesh here wants some things. My Hispanic brother called it carnita. This old carnita wants some things. I want things. And God says, don't worry about things. But he says, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and those things will come after you. I have to like, okay, God, humble myself. The last one is Psalm 16, verse 11. It says, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with your joy in your presence. This is where we get the statement, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Church, when you sit in his presence, he embraces you. His presence, there's no word to explain his presence. When you sit in his presence, Pastor, I have my war room home in my basement. And there are times when I go in my war room and the Spirit of God showed up. I don't want to go upstairs because I know I go upstairs. All I got is 6 little loving children. So I want to stay in the presence of God as long as I can. And trust me, I hear sometimes, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. When the 5th time goes across and I says, okay, let me answer. Because sometimes I just like to bask in his presence. I just love to sit in the presence of God. And I'm telling you, church, when you sit in the presence of God, God is going to reveal mystery to you. God shows me something, real quick, and I'm going to share this. God shows me something with the disciples. He said, he showed me how the disciples sit at his feet for 3 years. And how they sit at his feet, Jesus had 120, then he goes down to 70, and from 70 he goes to 12. Now, everywhere Jesus go, and it's not everything that Jesus did, he brought the 12. Sometimes he leave 9 over here, and he takes 3. He takes John, Peter, and James. There are 2 events that I know for sure that Jesus takes John, Peter, and James. It was a time when the man, I forgot his name, his daughter was sick. Jairus. His daughter was sick. They come to Jesus. Jesus was on his way to go take care of her. But the Bible said that she died. And they gave up. Don't go bother him. She already dead. Some of us have some dead situation and we give up on it. Don't give up on it. God ain't give up on it, so you don't give up on it. Whatever it is, don't give up on it. They give up. Jesus could have said to them, easy, well, okay, you give up, so I ain't bother going over there. Jesus says, come, let's go. Jesus went in there and Jesus kicked all of those little wailers out. You know, all them ladies in there crying and boohooing and all of that stuff. Jesus says, kindly, can you step outside, please? Take these three boys with him. They all went in there. You speak a couple of words, telemakuma, something of that sort he spoke. And the Bible said that she rise from the dead. Three guys were able to see that. Another event is where he went to the Mountain of Transfiguration. And he leave nine of them at the bottom. He says, Peter, James, and John, come with me. Everybody that walks after Moses died and Elijah died can only talk about Moses and Elijah. But John, James, and Peter can say, I saw them. Only three guys in the whole Bible can say, I saw Moses, I saw Elijah. Only three. And the reason why they are able to see it, because God unfold mystery to them. God wants to unfold mystery to you, church. And the only way he's going to unfold mystery to you, you got to spend time in his presence. Spend time. I'm going to say it again. Spend time. Jesus said, and I close, I hope when I return, there is faith in the earth. It doesn't matter what you're going through this morning, church. God loves you. God wants to spend time with you. He's just asking you to give him a few minutes of your time. Let's stand with me this morning. I cut out most of it because I didn't want you to fall asleep on me. I didn't want your roast to burn. So I cut out most of it, but one day, hopefully, I'll be able to share the whole thing. But this morning, let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, I thank you for your word, God. Father, I thank you for your people this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, God, help your people not to be like Martha. Father God, Martha was busy while you in her house. The God that steps foot on Mount Sinai, the God that spoke to Moses that says, I am that I am, wrapped himself in flesh and sits in her living room. And she didn't know. She did know it, but she didn't take advantage of it. Father, this morning, God, help us to take advantage of your presence when you show up at our house. Father God, help us to have our ears to hear what you have to say to us. And Father God, when you speak to us, don't let it go through one ear and come out the other. But Father, stirry our heart to respond to it. And Father, help us to do what you have called us to do at Life Church so we can make an impact in this city. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.